We're in the middle of Likutei Moharan Tanina, in the middle of Torah Ches, the Torah called Tikkut Echocha. We're up to paragraph Yud, which in our Likutei Moharan begins on page 40, the right-hand column, almost halfway down the page. It begins with the words, Ukesheyihye Chidush Olam Losid. Just for a 1 or 2 minute review of what we had till now, because tonight's, what we're going to learn tonight, the Mitzvah Shem, is going to be, we're going to be forced to bring together a lot of what we learned till now. So let's start from the beginning of the circle and go around and see where tonight is going to bring us back to the beginning. Rabbeinu Zal started off in this Torah talking about Teichocha, how Teichocha is a spectacular thing, to be able to reprimand people in a constructive way, to get them to better their ways. But on the other hand, it's very, very dangerous. Because if a person doesn't know how to do this the right way, chas v'shalom, they do it in a bad way. Rabbi Nezal said, not only do they not help the person whom they're reprimanding, but they could arouse a reyach ra, a bad smell in that person. Just like when something smells very bad, if you leave it alone for a while, it stays still. The odor is stagnant, so it doesn't give off a very powerful odor. If you stir up an item like that, it starts to give off a much worse smell than had you left it alone. Here also, a person's sins have this reyach ra to them, which in certain cases, if it's stirred up, it can bring about a very constructive purpose, because the person is made aware of the bad smell that he has, and he starts fixing things up. But in other cases, where the person doesn't have that kind of nature, where he's not going to correct it, just to stir up this bad odor and accomplish nothing by it, chas v'shalom, that's a very bad thing. Rabbi Nezal says that what's needed in order to be able to give Teichocha the right way is a person needs a good koil, a good voice. And Rabbi Nezal had a discussion a little about this word koil, es koilech shomati bagan vo'ira, how Hashem gave Teichocha to Adam HaRishon when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas. We see Hashem reprimanded, and you could imagine that if Hashem was doing the reprimanding, it must have been in a very constructive way. And the Teichocha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Yidden when they worshipped the golden calf, the Pasuk says, near the Nosan Rechai, that he was able to bring forth a good aroma, a sweet aroma, even from their bad sin. And Rabbi Nezal began to discuss this topic of the koil, and he brought proof from Psukim, Horem Kashoifor Koilech Vahaged Lami Pishon, that the Pasuk says to the Nevi'im, those that are true tzaddikim, Hashem says to them, lift up your voices like a shofar and tell my nation about their sins, meaning that there are certain people who possess a koil of purity, where Hashem says to them that for them specifically it's a mitzvah for them to raise their voices, to speak up, Vahaged la'ami pishon, and tell the people about their sins, meaning to be mechiach them, very simple. And Rabbi Nezal zeroed in on this word kashofar, that this word kashofar is very special, because this refers to a spectacular type of koil, a koil that's combined of 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, a single, double, triple, quadruple stranded instrument that gives forth 72 sounds, a chesed. Chesed is begimatria 72, which has a tremendous sweetness to it. And Rabbi Nezal said, because the word kashefer makes up the letters of the word kashefer, make up the first letters of the words kafel, shilush, poshut, ribua, which means single, double, triple, quadruple, which means this harp of 72 strings that the Torah says Hashem is going to play music on, Losid Lavoi, by taking Hashem's name Yud Ke Vav Ke, in this form, where we single it. First we take the first letter, the Yud, then we double it, we take the first two letters, Yud He, then we triple it, Yud He Vav, then we quadruple it, take all four letters together, the gematria of that total, Yud plus Yud He plus Yud He Vav plus Yud He Vav K, is begematria 72, and that refers to this coil of purity. Then Rabbi Nezal said that the key to get to this kind of koil is through tefillah. And Rabbi Nezal went on a very, very long, elaborate discussion about a certain type of tefillah, a tefillah bebechinas din, how under certain situations, normally we say, the Gemara says, al tas tefilascha kiva el rachmim v'tachnunim, that tefillah generally is supposed to be an act of kindness, pleading with Hashem, begging in a soft-spoken way.
Rabbein Ezal says there are times where the pasuk says Vayamoid Pinchas Vayapalel. There is a time when a tzaddik has to give forth a blast of tefillah, a very powerful type of tefillah. And Rabbein Ezal explained a lot about this tefillah, how when a tzaddik gives forth such a tefillah, because the tefillah is related to din, it's with harshness. The nature of the satan, whose whole achiza comes from din, the satan generally is nourished from the left side of Hashem, kaviyachol, from the left side, which represents din, harshness. So the satan attempts to swallow up this tefillah, and this tefillah gets caught in the throat of the satan and causes the satan to vomit up, to give up a lot of kedusha that the satan had captured, plus to actually give forth etzem chiyusai, some of his actual insides, in the form of gerim, converts. And Rabbein Ezal showed how this is the concept of thunder, how Ramim is a Bechinas Gerim, the concept of clouds spilling water from one to the other. We had in the past, if you listen to these tapes, the previous Shurim, we had a lot of detail on this. Then Rabbein Ezal discussed the Hiskalas HaKovoid, which comes about when Gerim on Iskariv, when people from the nations of the Goyim become Iskariv to Hashem. This brings about a tremendous heightening of the Kovoid of Hashem, as is found in a Pasuk, Hovu Lashem Mishpachai Samim, Hovu Lashem Kovoid Vois. Come forth from the Mishpachai Samim, from the families of the nations of the Goyim, Hovu Lashem Kovoid, and give Hashem Kovoid. So this Gerim brings about the Hiskalas HaKovoid. Rabbein Ezal says Kovoid brings about a Hispashtus HaNevuah, because we find the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Nevuah is Shaira only on people who are a respectable nature. The ones whom the Gemara lists are an Oshir, a Gibor, a Chacham, a Baal Kaima, people who are all known to be respectable, a wealthy person, a strong person, a knowledgeable person. And Rabbein Ezal brings from proof from Sukkim that all of these are respected by people. A person who has wealth, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, the Gemara says that respect, people who are wealthy are given more respect than people who are not wealthy. So too with a Chacham, Kevoid Chachamim Incholu, etc. So this Hisgalus HaKovoid leads to a Hispashtus HaNevuah. And Rabbein Ezal showed how this affects bringing about a refuah, that when the kibbutz of the Tzaddik Emes gathers together, this can either bring about a refuah for all of those present, including the Tzaddik himself, or at times it will only bring about a refuah for all of those present, but the Tzaddik himself will be forced to suffer in illness on behalf of all the people that are there. Then Rabbein Ezal stressed the importance of this, that Rabbein Ezal took this concept of Hispashtus HaNevuah a little bit further, that this Hispashtus HaNevuah, when there is a spreading of Nevuah, this leads to a Tikkun HaMedame. Medame is one of the nicknames that's given to the Satan, because the whole power of the Satan is to make what's bitter look sweet, and what's sweet look bitter. Really, to any person who has any iota of seichel, the sweetest thing in the world should be sitting down to learn for an hour. Why? Because if I told somebody that chopping wood, if they chop wood in this backyard for 1 hour, they're going to get $1 million, that would be the sweetest thing, that would be the most enjoyable task that they ever did in their entire life. If they knew that they were going to get $1 million for it, they would enjoy that 60 minutes of chopping that wood more than any 60 minutes of eating cream cake or watching television or doing anything spectacular that they like. Any of us who have any iota of emuna in Hashem, and we believe that the Gemara says, Schar mitzvah b'hayar maleka, that $1 million would be insulting to apply to a mitzvah. To say that if you do a mitzvah, you're going to get $1 million, chas v'shalom, we're minimizing the mitzvah, we're exaggerating in a negative way, we're de-exaggerating the chashivas of a mitzvah. That if I sit and learn for an hour, there's billions and billions and trillions of dollars, ruchnius, that I'm going to get for this. Which person wouldn't find that the most enjoyable thing conceivable? And if a person knows, Rahmona Litzlom, that if they commit a sin, if they have bad thoughts, or they do things that are bad, willingly, knowingly, Rahmona Litzlom, is going to be fire, very hot, burning fire that's going to hurt very, very much, then a person wouldn't enjoy, they wouldn't relish doing these things. Elamai. The Satan has this power of medame, where he's able to make things upside down by a person, where that which should be very sweet is very bitter, and that which should be very bitter is very sweet. Rabbein Azal says the tikkun for this medama is tolian nevuah. The more prophecy that there exists in the world, the more this medama has a tikkun, because nevuah is a purification of medama. Nevuah is taking the imagination and using it in a very pure, constructive way to imagine something that's true and that's an actual vision of Hashem. Where these neviim, note, nevuah is not something tangible. It's not where they were able to touch these items. And yet, it was an imaginative type item that was a revelation of the highest Kedusha possible. So Rabbein Azal says that the more there's this Hispashtus HaNevuah, the more it brings about a Birur HaMedameh. So too, Rabbein Azal says, those Jews who are zeicha to attach themselves to tzaddikim, who possess this Ruach HaNevuah, this Ruach HaKodesh. And Rabbein Azal said, you should know, even nowadays, that we have no Beis HaMikdosh, and technically, there doesn't exist any actual prophecy today, or Ruach HaKodesh, but the fact remains unquestionably that anybody who's a leader of Klal Yisrael must have a certain aspect of Ruach HaKodesh, of Ruach Nevuah in him. And according to what degree he has, those that become niskarif to him, those that attach themselves to him, they receive a better birur hamedameh, where this imaginative power becomes dissolved and they're zeicha to have a true emuna in Hashem. Emuna is another word that means a birur hamedameh. Emuna, faith, is also in something that you're required to imagine, because if you see something, there's no faith involved. Faith is only in that which you can't see, which you can't know. You have to imagine it. So nevuah and emunah are actually identical. So the Rebbe, who possesses the greatest degree of nevuah, he's the one who's in a position to strengthen the emunah of those that are niskariv to him to the greatest degree. This is pretty much where we left off last time. One more point. Rabbein Azal says that when this emunah is going to be fixed up solidly, that's when we'll be zeicha to chiddush ha'olam. That's when we'll be zeicha that Hashem will bring about the coming of Moshiach and the world will be created anew. And Rabbein Azal brought proof for this because the pasuk says about chiddush ha'olam, olam chesed yibone, that the world is going to be rebuilt with chesed, kindness. What mitzvah do we have to do that affects generating this kindness? The pasuk says, "Lahagid baboiker chazdecho ve'emunoscho baleilois." That according to how much emuna the yidden will have baleilois in the darkness, in the medame, in the confusion, in all the confusion that's going on in the world today, the more that people are zeicha to strengthen themselves in real emuna, they're going to bring about this lahagid baboiker chazdecho, this chesed that's needed to bring about the olam chesed yibone, the rebuilding of the new world, the chiddush olam, which is toloi in a tikkun ha'emuna. This is pretty much where we left off now, and we're going to continue from here. Rabbein Azal says, "U'gishayiyeh chiddush olam losid," when there will be this rebuilding of the world, brand new, in the future, "oz yisnaheg ha'olam al yidei niflois," then the manner in which Hashem is going to conduct the world is going to be through miracles, fabulous miracles. Now, before we continue, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's a machlekes between two opinions. There's the opinion of Shmuel, who says that when Moshiach will come, the only difference between how things are going to operate in the world then versus now is Shibut Malchias Bilvad. The only difference is going to be in the fact that the Jews are going to be in control of the world. The Goyim, all the nations of the Goyim, will be subservient to the Jews, but that's it. They'll still be the Teva. Things will still take their normal course, where in order to eat, you'll have to put seeds into the ground, and the seeds grow wheat, and the wheat has to be cut, and the after cutting, grinding, and after grinding, sifting into pure flour, and after that baking it, etc., etc. In other words, there'll be the normal hanhoga of looking for parnosa and taking cotton and sewing it into clothing and all of these things. This is one opinion in the Gemara. There's another opinion in the Gemara itself, which is brought in the Gemara in Sanhedrin itself, and this is the opinion that's emphasized in the Zohar HaKadosh very, very clearly. The Zohar HaKadosh takes this side, and the Arizal and all the Sifrei Chasidus and pretty much the majority of Sforim HaKadoshim take up this side, the emuna, that when Moshiach comes, the Hanhog of Hashem in the world is going to be through fabulous miracles. Meaning, the teva, the fact that Hashem conducts the world in such a way where a person takes a little seed, drops it into the ground, and that seed rots in the ground, and from that blossoms forth a spectacular tree, a big tree with fruit and leaves that provides shade and wood and fruit and sustenance, all of these things. On one hand, that is a miracle. Nobody could deny that that's a big chiddush. Go show somebody who doesn't know anything about planting, show them, watch me perform magic. I'm going to take this little thing that's brown, that looks, that's tasteless and meaningless and it's zero. I'm going to throw it into the ground and I'm going to say abracadabra, and watch, from that little thing is going to grow forth a 150-foot tree with leaves and apples on it and all kinds. They would say that's, there's no bigger chiddush than that. There's nothing stranger than that. And yet, because of the fact that that's so commonplace in the world today, people consider that part of the derech hateva. That's considered part of the norm, that it's normal that when you put a seed into the ground, things grow. But it takes time, and it takes watering, and it takes... The concept of a miracle, as we understand it today, is if a person would take a seed, drop it into the ground, and in 1 second would not come forth wheat, but would come forth actual fully baked bread that's sliced and packaged and everything. The other opinion in the Gemara is that that's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, that the Hanhoga then is going to be complete miracles, where actual completed products of food are going to be growing, and clothing will grow on trees, not cotton from which you'll spin and heart the whole thing. There'll be finished products. It's called niflois, wonders. That then the analog of the world is going to be through niflois, wondrous miracles. Rabbeinu Zal says this as fact. Rabbeinu Zal obviously sides with that opinion in the Gemara and with the Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal, all the other tzaddikim who say this very solidly. Rabbeinu Zal says, then the world is going to be conducted through miracles. Hainu al yedei hashkocho levad shehu bechinas niflois sheloi kederach hateva. There are two words that we have to become familiar with that are antonyms that are used throughout the Likutei Halachos very, very often. We have to know that these two are opposites. Hashkocho, the word hashkocho, or hashkocho prati is the more common use of the word, versus teva. Teva is one form where Hashem conducts the world, where it seems as if the world is managing itself, as if things are going along in their normal way. It's not as if somebody's upstairs pulling the strings where everybody's puppets and hooked up to a string and Hashem is calling all the shots. That's the word, calling all the shots. It's not like that. It looks as if things are rolling along their normal course and everything's happening the way it naturally happens, that kind of word. That's called derech hateva. There's another hanhoga called hashkocha prati, where a person believes that there's nothing, that the word normal, the word habit, doesn't exist in this world. It's not a habit for the sun to set and come up this, that. Each and every single day there has to be a specific command issued by Hashem that causes the sun to rise. Each and every single day there has to be a command by Hashem to tell this tree to grow another eighth of an inch, to tell this leaf to fall off, every single iota of what takes place. That's called hashkocha prati. These two hanhogos, these two manners of Hashem conducting the world, where sometimes Hashem allows things to go in a way where it appears to people as if things are just rolling along, as if there isn't a mashgiach, there isn't a supervisor watching and managing every single iota that takes place, that hanhoga is called teva, whereas the other hanhoga is called hashkocha prati. When we refer to this in the form of names of Hashem, naturally this form of hashkocha prati is represented by a higher level name of Hashem. The form of teva is represented by a lower level name of Hashem. It's still Hashem. Any Jew who doesn't have who has the tiniest iota of faith knows that even the teva is being controlled by Hashem, but it's a lower form of manifestation of the greatness of Hashem. So that the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that this hanhog of hashkocha prati is referred to by Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which, note, today we're not permitted to pronounce that. That name is hidden, because today it appears as though things are rolling along al pi derech hateva, whereas the name of Hashem that represents teva is the name Elokim. Hashem's name Elohim, which we are permitted to pronounce, that name represents Teva. As the Arizal says, the word Hateva, which is the nature, the word Hateva is Bigematria Elohim. Now note, there's a pasuk in Navi that says, Hashem hu ho Elohim, that a Jew who has, again, any iota of sechel, any iota of faith, understands that these are not two distinct items, two separate items. These are one and the same. It's just in one situation, Hashem makes it more obvious to us. In another situation, it's less obvious. But it's the same Hashem, either in a more obvious form or a less obvious form. So Rabbein Azal says that La'osid, in the future, the Hanhog of Hashem is going to be through miracle, which is referred to by this term Hashgacha, where the Hanhog of Hashem is more obvious to us. It's more obvious that things are not going along by rote. Things are not going along in a repeated fashion. The sun goes up, goes down, up, that regular basis, like clockwork. Then it's going to be more obvious that everything is being guided purely by the dictate, by the command of Hashem. Rabbein Azal says, Ki chidish olam lo'osid hu bechinas Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why is it going to be like this? The answer is because Rabbein Azal says that the new world that's going to be created, Losid Lavoi, is going to be a concept of Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, Eretz Yisrael only makes up a tiny, tiny percentage of this world. Losid Lavoi, the whole world then, is going to be a Bechinas Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be called Eretz Yisrael. Rabbein Azal explains, Ki ikar Eretz Yisrael hu al yedei Bechinas koyach ma'asov higid li'amoy. The main concept of an existence of Eretz Yisrael is based on a pasuk where the pasuk says Koyach Maasov Higid Li'Amoy, that Hashem revealed to his nation, to the Yidden, the power of his actions. If you look in the first pasuk in Chumash, the first pasuk in Chumash says, in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth. So Rashi HaKadosh quotes a Medrash, where the Medrash says, Rabbi Yitzchak said, why did Hashem begin the Torah telling us that He created heaven? Who cares? In other words, you're presenting a Torah, tell us what you want us to do. If the main purpose of the Torah is to describe to us what Hashem expects of us, then why doesn't Hashem simply start off by saying, number one, item number one, I want you to do this and this? So the Medrash says that the reason why Hashem began with this pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim is because of the pasuk Koyach Ma'asov Higid Li'Amoy Loseis Lohem Nachlas Goyim. Hashem wanted to reveal to Bnei Yisrael the fact that He is the one who constructed the whole world. He's the boss, and if He's the boss, He's the only one who's in a position to take any portion of land in this world and give it to whomever He wants. And even after He gives it to somebody, He's in a position to take it away from them and give it to somebody else at His will. And the Medrash says that this refers specifically to Eretz Yisrael, that by Hashem declaring, Bereishis Bara Elokim es Hashamayim v'ha'aretz, that I created heaven and earth, then I have the right to place Eretz Yisrael in the hands of the Goyim for a period of time. And when I take the initiative to take it away from them and put it into the hands of the Yidden, it's my prerogative. It's purely in Hashem's hands completely. So this is the meaning in the Pasuk Bereishis Bara. This is the reason why Hashem started the Torah with this. And you'll note that this first Pasuk Bereishis has in it exactly 28 letters. This is called Koyach Ma'asov Higid Li'Amoy. Koyach is 28. The Hashem revealed that first pasuk, revealed the Koyach Ma'asov. Just like any creator, creativity is usually done with the hands. The hands are called Yodayim. Yad, Yad Yamin, Yad Smoil. The word Yad is Bigematria 14. Twice Yad is Koyach. This is the Koyach Ma'asov Higid Li'Amoy in the creation of the world. Now Rabbein Azal says, why? So that the nations of the world should not say to the Yidden, you're robbers. We were in Eretz Yisrael first. How could you take it away from us? The answer is baloney. The first was Hashem. Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's Hashem who created everything. Therefore, He's the boss. He has the right to lease out His property. He didn't give it to you. He leased it to you on a contract with a timer. Whenever Hashem decides to recall the lease, That item was written into the contract. Where? That's why He wrote the words Bereishis Bara Elokim es Hashamayim v'ha'aretz. That's where He was serving notice that He's setting up this contract in such a way that He's able to recall at any point in time that He wants. Rabbeinu, so the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Halkein posach bebereishis, ki hu yisporach boro, Hashem created it, and he has the prerogative to give it or take it away from whoever he wants. Nimtza, what do we see from this? She'ikar Eretz Yisrael hu al yidei koyach ma'asov, that the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael, this most choshu place in the world, which Hashem selects to give and take whenever he wants, that the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael is a concept of koyach ma'asov, that al yidei she'yoyden she'Hashem yisporach bora es ha'olam, through the fact that we know that Hashem created the world, and in the future He's going to recreate the world anew, in this category, in this concept of Eretz Yisrael, ki oz yizgale, then it will be revealed, Hashem yizborach bora hakoil, then Hashem is going to make it clear to the world by revealing Himself to the entire world. It's going to be made clear to everybody that Hashem created everything. Va'oz yichadesh kol ha'olam kuloi, and then Hashem is going to bring out the world anew, bebechinas Eretz Yisrael. V'ikr kedushas Eretz Yisrael, hu sheshom hu hashgachosa yisborach tomet. If we want to know what makes Eretz Yisrael so holy, what makes it so special, the fact that the Hashgacha of Hashem is in Eretz Yisrael, tamid, at all times. What does this mean? Does this mean that Hashem supervises what goes on in Eretz Yisrael and Chas V'Shalom He doesn't supervise what goes on in Chutz Laretz? No. You see, before we gave a clear definition of the distinction between Hashgacha and Teva. Hashgacha means that it's much more clear to the person that in Eretz Yisrael it's made much clearer to you that Hashem is running the show. Hashem is running the show everywhere. Nobody's debating that. The question is, where is it more obvious? Where is it less obvious? The Yud Kei Vav Kei is in Eretz Yisrael. The Elokim is in Chutz Laretz. Meaning, the higher level of Kedusha, the Hashgacha Proti, is much more obvious in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz Laretz. Just as Hashem brings in another term in Likutei Moran, that one of the things that the Meraglim said about Eretz Yisrael is that it's called Eretz Oicheles Yoshveho. It's a land that eats up its inhabitants. Rabbein Azal says that the word Oicheles makes up the Rosh Tevois Ato Teshalein Leish Kema'asehu. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, you, Hashem, pay a person according to his deeds. Mida keneged mida. According to what you do a certain type of an aveira that involves your left foot. Hashem pays you back, He punishes you with your left foot. And the punishment always matches the crime, and the reward matches the good deed. This concept of mida keneged mida. Rabbein Azal says you should know that this concept of ato teshalim leish kemaaseihu is much, much more prevalent and much more obvious in Eretz Yisrael. This is one of the privileges that those Jews that live in Eretz Yisrael have, that Hashem makes it easier for them to be able to do tshuva. Because how do you know what to do tshuva on? If you know what item you did wrong with, you know what organ of the body has to be corrected, what item has to be corrected. If the punishment that you get from Hashem does not obviously fit the crime, then it's very hard for you to figure out what the crime was, period. This whole concept of this super Hashgacha Prati prevails much more in Eretz Yisrael than any other place in the world. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Beferish in the Chumash, Tamid Einei Hashem Aleikecha Bo Meireishis Hashanah V'yad Achris Hashanah, that Hashem's eyes are peeled on Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Tamid, constantly, meaning there's this extra constant supervision which is much more obvious to those that are being supervised in Eretz Yisrael than Lahavdil in Chutz Laretz. Ula osid, and in the future, sheyechadesh es ho es kol ha'ilam kuloi bebechinas Eretz Yisrael. Then Hashem is going to recreate the world anew, where the whole world is going to have this kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. Oz yisnahe kol ha'ilam kuloi al yidei hashgacha levad. Then the whole world is going to have this hashgacha. The teva is going to go out the window, it's going to be done away with, and it's going to become completely clear to people in all parts of the world the obvious manifestation of who's behind everything that's going on, the fact that Hashem is behind everything that's going on. Rabbi Nezal says, "Kamo Yeret Yisrael, just as in Eret Yisrael, v'oz yizbatel ha-teva legamri, and then this hanhog of teva is going to be done away with completely." As the pasuk says, what's a pasuk in Novi that says this very clearly? V'lo yikonef oid meirecha. Your master will no longer hide from you anymore. There's a pasuk that says that Lasid Lovo Hashem is going to take the world and he's going to take it like a cloth, like a something you're trying to dry, like a sheet, and Hashem is going to shake it real well. And all the Rishonim that are holding on to this cloth are going to go flying off. They're not going to be able to hold on to it. And it's only the tzaddikim that have a good hold on it, they're going to be able to hang on even when Hashem shakes the world. So the pasuk that's used is V'loi Konef Oit Moirecho. Hashem will no longer hide himself, conceal himself from people at that time. So we see Beferish that this Teva is going to be done away with. Rabbi Nezal says, and the world will be controlled only through Hashgacha. Shehu bechinas niflois, which is this concept of niflois, sheloi kederach hateva, not by nature. Now let's see, as far as spherois, as far as associating this with the midos of Hashem, what are we talking about here? What spherois control the world today, basically? The seven lower spheroids of Chesed through Malchus. That's why everything we have today, we have 7 days in a week, 7 years in a Shemitah. The world today is basically guided by the number seven. Whereas Laosid Lavoi, we're going to go above the seven to the eighth. What's the eighth sphera? Bina. The word Niflois, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, the word Niflois is made up of two words. Nun Palois. 50 wonders. The 50 wonders, this refers to this level of Bina, that's what's going to prevail in those days, because then we're going to be above this Hanhog of 7, we're going to get to the Yovel, to the complete freedom. Then the Yidna are going to be freed from the Shibud Malchius. Shibud means Avodim. Go Eved is 7 days. Eved is bound by this work week, this concept of the work week. Then we're going to go to the Madrega of Cherus, which is called Yovel. Yovla, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the word Yovla with the Kailel is Begematria 50. That's this Niflois, this Nun Plois, the 50 wonders of Bina, which we're going to be Zohar to experience Losid Lavoy in this Chiddush Olam. Rabbi Nezal says, V'oz Yisar Shir Chodosh. Then there's going to be aroused a new type of song, a brand new type of song. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Shiru Hashem Shir Chodosh, sing to Hashem a new song, Ki Niflois Oso, because Hashem has made wonders. Because Hashem has made wonders. So we see that when there's this Niflois, this brings forth a new song, a Shir Chodosh. Rabbi Nezal explains, Hainu Hashir Sheyisar Losid. This refers to the type of song that's going to be generated in the future. Shehu Nigun Shel Hashkocha. This is a song that's based on this Hashkocha Proti of Hashem, this much clearer revelation of Hashem, Bechinas Niflois, which is in the form of these wonders. Rabbi Nezal explains now, does this mean that there's a song of Tevan, there's a song of Hashkocha? Yes, most definitely. Rabbi Nezal explains, Ki yesh nigun ki oz yisnai koilam ayde hashkocha v'neflois. Then the world is going to be guided by hashkocha and neflois. Ki yesh nigun shel bechinas derech hateva. There is a type of song which is called the song of nature, the song of teva, where things go, a song that's related to Hashem's guidance of the world today in its normal fashion, this by rote. As the pasuk says, v'zeh bechinas, this is what the pasuk says in Tehillim, hashomayim mesaprim kevoid keil, umase yodov magid harakia. The heavens speak of the glory of Hashem, and Hashem's actions tell about his rakia. Shehu bechinas hanigun v'hashir shel derech hateva shel tchunais hashamayim. This represents the song which represents where things are guided by the stars. This concept of derech hateva, where there's a concept of mazolois, yudbeis mazolois, which guide the destiny of the goyim, or the basic destiny of the world, al pi derech hateva. That's this concept of shomayim and rokia, all referring to these yudbeis mazolois, which are referred to as the root of teva, of the norm, things going normally. Hainu, Bechinas Hashirim Vitishbochois, Shemishabchem Lashem Yisborach. This refers to the songs and praises which are given to Hashem, Al Hahanhoko Shelachshov, for the manner in which Hashem conducts the world today. It's fabulous. In other words, even the Teva, the fact that it's conceivable to take a seed and drop it in the ground, or have a husband and wife unite and be able to actually create a whole human being with 613 parts of the body, and with a respiratory system and a digestive system and a circulatory system and a nervous system and an endocrine system, all of these systems coming forth from a tiny droplet, that's something to sing about. That's something to praise Hashem about. There's no question at all. But that's called the song of Derech HaTeva. That's called the song of Teva, which is a lower level song. Shemanhig b'derech HaTeva, over the fact that Hashem creates the world in what's classified as Teva. But in the future, Yisar, there will be aroused Shir Chodosh, a new song, Shel Bechinas Niflois, of wonders, Bechinas Hashgocha, this obvious control of Hashem over the whole world. Ki Oz Yieh HaHanhogo Shel Hashgocha Levad. Then there'll be no concept of Teva. There'll be no concept of people thinking that anything is going along its normal, habitual route. It's going to be obvious to all the Yidden and Goyim who are around them that everything is guided purely by Hashgacha. V'shir ha'chodesh hazeh shi'isar losid, and this new song that's going to be aroused in the future, hu bechinas shir poshut kaful meshulosh merubo sha'ila ayin beiz bechinas chesed shal yodo yechidish olam losid bechinas olam chesed yibone. This new song that's going to be aroused in the future is going to be this song that we discussed before, this single, double, triple, quadruple, shredded instrument, which is Bigimatria 72, the word Chesed, through which is going to be generated this Chiddush Olam, as the Pasuk says, Olam Chesed Yibone, that it's only through this Chesed that the new world will be built. Note, Olam Chesed Yibone, the Tikkun Yetzirah says, Olam Chesed Bino. The word Yibone makes up the letters Bino. That Losit Lovoi, the world then, which is going to be Bechinas Bino, Niflois, is going to be via Chesed, because you'll note in the Sphirois, how do you get up to Bino? You have to step off from Chesed. Chesed is the top of the seven lower Sphirois. From Chesed, you take a step up to Bino. So Olam Chesed Yibone. Olam is Malchus, the next level is Chesed, the next level is Bina. That's how we make this climb up. So Rabbi Nazal says, V'shir hazeh hu bechinas koil hanal. Now we're going to complete the circle. This song that we just described, this song of the Hashgacha, which we proved from Sukkim and Tehillim that there is such a song, this song represents this koil that we discussed earlier, this koil of Shir Poshit Kafel Meshul Shmeruba, which the Moichiach needs to be able to give Teichacha to people in a proper way. Rabbein Azal says now, V'shir hazeh u'b'chinas koil hanal shehu mashkes hagan. This refers to the koil which we discussed before, that this koil nourishes all the things that grow in the Gan Eden. As the Pasuk said over there, that Rabbein Azal brought proof from Psukim, es koilech shomati bagan vo'ira, that there exists this koil in the Gan that nourishes all the plants of the Gan. As the Gemara says in Brachos, HaKoil Yofe La Besamim, that koil is beneficial to besamim. Besamim are grasses that give forth a good aroma. Koil, voice, the song, brings forth a sweet aroma from these grasses. So we see there exists this koil that nourishes the things that grow in the Gan, in the Gan Eden. Shal Yidei Koil Hazeh Yechoilen Lohichiach. One who is zeichet to possess this type of koil, that's the one who's worthy of being able to give teichacha, to reprimand. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk said, horim kashofar koilech v'haged l'ami pishon kanal. That lift up your voice like a shofar. One who is zeichet to possess this voice, that's bechinas kashofar, this voice that consists of this kofel shilosh ribua, meaning that he draws from this shir she'isar losid lovoi, meaning that he possesses this emuna, this tikkun ho'emuna bishleimus, through which a person is zeichet to generate the chesed that's needed to bring about the chiddush olam and all of these things that we spoke about. That's the one who's in a position to be able to give teichacha to people. Nimtza, we see from this, in other words, now Rabbeinu Zal is going to summarize all that we had from the beginning to now. This next little piece, the next eight lines, Rabbeinu Zal is going to review from beginning till where we got up to now. Nimtza, what do we see from this? That through tefillah, a person gets to all of this. Because if you recall, we started off this discussion talking about that tefillah bebechinas din. That tefillah bebechinas din that the satan swallows, it causes him to vomit up the gerim, that brings about a hisgalas hakovoid, that brings about a hispashtes hanavua, that brings about a tikkun hoemuna, that brings about the chesed that's needed to bring about a chiddush ha'olam, when there'll be this song that'll be played on this 72 strings, etc. Rabbeinu Zal says, through tefillah, that's how we get to this koil. Through which a person could be zecher, he get to reprimand. Why? We explained earlier how through this tefillah bebechinas din, the satan swallows that and it causes him to vomit up even his own insides, which means the gerim, the converts. V'nizgale hakovoid. When converts become niskarif to Bnei Yisrael, this brings about a hizgalas hakovoid. Hovol Hashem mishpuchay samim, hovol Hashem kovoid voiz. V'yidei zeh nispashei tanavua. A hiskalus hakovoid brings about a hispashtus hanavuah, because nevuah, the Gemara says in Shabbos, comes specifically to bale kovoid, to masters of kovoid, rich people, smart people, strong people, tall people, bale kaima. Vayidei nevuah zaychen le'amunah. And through nevuah, which is a concept of birur hamedame, as we explained, that's how a person is zaychet to emunah, which is another form of birur hamedame. Vayidei emunah yeh chiddush ha'olam lo'asid. And emunah is the key to the chiddush ha'olam. We quoted the pasuk, ve'emunah scho balelois. That's what's going to bring about the lahagid baboiker chazdecho. That's going to bring about the chesed that's needed to bring about the olam chesed yibone, the rebuilding of a new world. V'chiddush ha'olam hu b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. We said that this concept of this new world that's going to be created at that time, then the whole world is going to be called Eretz Yisrael. All the specialties that Eretz Yisrael possesses today are going to be found throughout the world at that time in that new world. V'oz, Rabbeinu Zal says, haynu b'chinas hashgocho k'moy Eretz Yisrael, meaning that then the whole world will be filled with this miraculous conduct, just as Eretz Yisrael, to a degree, is filled with it today. Va'oz yisar hashir shel hashgocha v'neflois. Then there will be aroused this song, which sings about the conduct of Hashem in these miracles, showing us these miracles. V'shir hazeh hu b'chinas koil hanal. This song, this is the type of voice that's needed by the koil of the Moichiach, in order to be able to give people teichocha properly. So that Rabbeinu Zal is saying, those people who want to be worthy of being zeicha to give teichocha properly, they have to be ones who went through this whole cycle. Ones who are such big tzaddikim that in a time of crisis, they are in a position to be able to daven this tefillah bebechinas din, which is able to bring about this reaction, causing the sultan to swallow it up and explode inside of him and bring forth gerim, which brings forth a tremendous revelation of the covet of Hashem, which brings forth a hispashtes hanavuah, which brings forth a hisgalus ha'emunah, which is what brings about the chiddush ha'olam, when there will be this fabulous song. A tzaddik who is on this madrega, who does these types of avodos, his voice draws from this nigun shelo osid lavoi. His voice draws from this song that in the future is going to be able to pull together. There's nothing that has a koyach hamshocha, the power to draw people's hearts, as the power of music, the power of song. Rabbeinu Zal says here that lo osid lavoi, in the future there's going to be a type of music that's going to be able to captivate v'noharu elov kol hagoyim, Moshiach, who is the Ruach HaPeinu Moshiach Hashem. He's the Ne'im Zemiroi Yisrael. He's going to be the one who's going to possess this type of song that's going to be able to gather in all the masses, all the people in the world are going to be drawn to him. a tzaddik who is zeichet to possess all the tikkunim that we discussed here, he is one whom his koil draws from this nigan lasid lavoi, so that therefore, when he gives teichacha, his teichacha is only constructive. His teichacha is one who has the power to bring about a bira hamadama, a tikkun ha'emuna, a spasha sanavua, all of these tikkunim that we spoke about that are able to bring forth the sweet aroma from the people whom he's trying to be makariv.
Does that imply that the only one across the board who can give teichacha is a tzaddik who fits this description?
Most definitely. Because Rabbeinu Zal started off by quoting the Gemara in Erchin, which gives a lot of warnings that teichacha, if done incorrectly, could bring about tremendous repercussions, chas v'shalom. So that, in other words, we have to know that this is a mitzvah that's dangerous, no question. If a person wants to give a shir, stam, and discuss, teach people Torah, that's one thing. But you want to go over to a person and say to him, you did this and this specific sin, why, you know, that type of item requires tremendous, tremendous knowledge. It requires knowing all that the Gemara writes over there in Erchin. There's like two whole amudim there in the Gemara discussing this type of teichacha, and it requires a very thorough knowledge of this Torah and Likudei Moran and all the Likudei Halachos that's written on it, explaining how much goes into this item.
How would you distinguish that between, let's say, the type of interaction that's supposed to pass between two friends as far as improving one another and as far as, say, a comment as far as helping another person improve? How would that...
The answer is obviously it would have to be done in a much lighter way. In other words, this concept of teichacha, which is something which, like at most, at least, a rebbe can do to a talmud. Let's say, in other words, that's the lowest level that's in a position to do it. That kind of thing, that's not for chaverim. In other words, unless it's done in a very friendly way, otherwise there's tremendous danger in this item, no question. In other words, Rabbeinu Zal says clearly, as the Gemara says, that as much as there's a pasuk in Chumash that says, Hoicheach, Toichiach, Asamisecho, why? Because Veloy Tisol of Chait, so that you shouldn't be held responsible for his sin. What happens if through your Toichacha, he doesn't just stay with this one sin that he did, but your Toichacha makes him so mad and so upset that Chas V'Shom, he says, because of this, I'm going to drop the whole religion, Chas V'Shom. Then you didn't do him a favor, you didn't do yourself a favor, you made things worse. And the Torah is saying that there is a big potential like that. Now I remember Rebbe Zal once said in a shir, there's a Gemara that says, that kol mi sheyesh bo yira shamayim, devorov nishmoim. That any person who possesses true yira shamayim, his words will be received by people, and people will listen to him, and they'll abide by what he says. So Rebbe Zal once said that there were certain cases in his life where he taught Talmidim, he gave shurim to Talmidim, and the Talmidim didn't really listen to what he was saying, they didn't have the proper respect, and Rachmona Litzlan, he didn't get real nachas from them. So I forget whether Rebbe Zal said that some of them once said this, chas v'shalom, or he once mentioned to them that if any of you should decide to select the option of thinking of this Gemara, that note, here's an out for students. Students can say to a Rebbe that if you see that we're not that good, it's not a reflection on us, it's a reflection on you. Because the Gemara says, Beferish, kol mi sheyesh bo yira shamayim, dvorav nishmoim. So therefore, if you had the true yira shamayim, your words would be received. The answer is, that's half the story. That's what it takes to be a good Rebbe. That's not the whole picture. There are a whole set of ingredients that it takes to go into being a good Talmud. And the same Gemara in Erchin that this Torah is based on in the beginning, where Rabbeinu Zal quotes Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara over there says that there's an opinion who says that I wonder if there's anyone in this generation who's worthy of receiving Teichacha. So it's two departments. It takes a very special type of individual who's worthy of giving teichacha, and it also takes certain special ingredients, a certain honesty in religion, and a certain level of modesty for a person to be receptive to teichacha. That if any Jew, in other words, you know, to be a meichiach, before you decide to be a meichiach, you have to be very, very selective, you have to be very careful. But before you decide to accept teichacha, that shouldn't require a lot of decisions. In other words, a Jew should set himself up in such a way where if any Jew in the world will approach me and will convince me that I'm doing something wrong, of course Of course I'll thank him, and of course I'll tell him that I'll change right away. What's the shaila? In other words, if I'm doing something wrong, obviously it shows that I'm not aware of it. If I really knew that I'm doing something wrong, what's the shaila? I would say, no, I'm going to do it anyway, chas v'shalom. Of course I would acknowledge it, I would thank him, and I would accept upon myself to change it. And this is something that a person has to pour a lot of tefillos in. Shlomo HaMelech, who was the wisest of all people, said, Mikol Malamdai Hiskalti. Mikol Malamdai Hiskalti. That how did he become so smart? The fact that he was willing to be receptive from everybody. Everybody was his teachers. He was able to look, Rabbi Nazar brings in the first time, look at the modern person has to be able to look for the chachma and everything. Person has to be able to use every item in creation, not just every person, not just every yid, but every goy, but every animal, to be able to learn from. To be able to learn tznius from a cat. To be able to learn from every single thing in the world. To be able to be aware that everybody is bigger than you. You're the lowest thing in creation, and everybody has something to teach you. You're not too big to learn from anybody. Proof is that there were Tanoim who said that had Hashem not given us a Torah, we would have learned from the different animals in the world. There are certain things that we could have learned from the animal. What do you mean learn from an animal? How dare an animal think he's in a position to teach me? No. The answer is these tzaddikim possess such a pure modesty that they really believe this, that there's chokhmah to be found in anything, and I'm the nothing, I'm the nobody. If I'm the nothing, then everybody is in a position to teach me. I'm in a position to learn from everybody and everything. And a person who takes that kind of attitude, that person benefits from everything and everybody around him. There isn't a second in his life that he's not advancing, he's not learning. Because whether he's with his Rebbe, whether he's with his Chaverim, whether he's with his Talmidim, whether he's with his children, whether he's out in the field, he's learning, he's looking to learn from everything about around him. And such a person is zeicha to have all the madrigas that we spoke about here.
Why is it necessary to put yourself at point zero in order to learn from everybody? Because you could say, well, just like Hashem created that, He created me, and I could learn from everybody. Why do you have to necessarily say you're the lowest thing in creation?
The answer is because there's a pasuk that says, Hoy kol tzomei l'chul amayim, that the concept of attaining knowledge requires a thirst. The nature of a person is, according to how thirsty, that there has to be crying in order to bring forth new Torah. There has to be crying. Rabbi Nazar says, that the concept of attaining knowledge is something that's dependent on thirst. Thirst means an absence. In other words, thirst is only I'm missing something, where I have to feel I'm missing something. And the Sforim bring that according to how much you feel you're missing, that's how much you're going to be able to attain. Meaning, if I acknowledge my situation, if I observe my situation, and I consider myself being 50% smart, then it's understood that my quest for knowledge is that I'm looking for 50%. I'm looking to fill the 50% gap that I feel for missing. I'm going to have a certain degree of thirst. That registers, if I had a meter to measure it, it measures 622.4. Whereas, if I look at myself as being totally empty, I'm so thirsty that I feel that I don't have a drop of liquid in me. Such a person could drink a lake. He feels like he could drink a whole lake. According to how much you're margish, the void in yourself and the thirst in yourself, that's what affects how thirsty you are. That affects how much you're going to suck up the knowledge. How quick and easy it's going to be for you to suck up knowledge from wherever it's to be found. So that this is a tremendously, tremendously important ingredient that a person has to daven for, to be zeichet to thirst. To be zeichet to have this. Now, what is this thirst dependent on? Obviously, acknowledging the vacancy, the deficiency in yourself. Yes or no? So if I can be zeichet to bring myself to a level where I consider myself nothing, I'm totally empty, then I have this much, I have a full cup to be filled. Not that I have an ounce or two in my cup, and the most that I can get from people is the 7 ounces that I need to complete the cup. My cup is totally empty, therefore I'm ready to get the full 8 ounces that the whole world has to offer me.
Can't you go so low as to say, well, I don't know anything. I mean, what's the point of even trying to learn anything?
That's where a person has to be able to dance of to tanzen of bedochasanas. That's what it's called in Yiddish. Rabbeinu Zal brings this, that this is the test of a Jew. There exists a concept of anova psula chas v'shom. There exists a concept of modesty which is treif, which could lead to a depression. That's tomei. That's the avi avos hatuma. That's the worst form of tuma chas v'shom, where a person uses modesty to get himself depressed chas v'shom. That's the worst thing. It has to be a combination of both. That on one hand, I acknowledge that I'm nothing, and mitzad hasheni, I acknowledge that because I'm nothing, the whole world was created just to service me. Everything in creation was just, why? Because he's not nothing, he has a lot. And I'm the one who has nothing, and therefore Hashem created all of these people. All of them are here to teach me. All the Rabbonim, they're not here. They don't have to be here. They're okay. There we go. I'm the only one who is so choser that everything in the world was created just to service me, to fill my chisorim. If that's the case, then I'm pretty special. Just as the Pasuk says, Es asher yehav Hashem yechiach. We mentioned this in Deal, I think, this week, that when it comes to Teichocha, a person can take it one of two ways. That if you see somebody's yelling at you and reprimanding you, you could take that as a sign that you should give up. That you should give up. Why? If I'm being yelled at, it shows I'm no good, therefore I give up. That's one way of taking it. Or a person who's sincere, a person who's intelligent, says, the fact that somebody is taking out time and effort to reprimand me shows they consider me important enough not to ignore me. If I were a real nobody, if I were really beyond help, you ignore. The fact that I'm not being ignored, the fact that I'm being reprimanded, doesn't show how bad I am, it shows how good I am. It shows how important, it doesn't show how insignificant I am, it shows how significant I am. So here again, the fact that I say I'm nothing, that doesn't show how insignificant I am, that shows that I'm the most important person in the world. Because I'm the one for whom everything was created for, just to fill the emptiness, the gap in me. So there's two ways to look at everything. The Satan, Chasvei Rachmon Litzlan, tries to get us to twist everything as an excuse to go far from Hashem and to get depressed. The Yetzer Tov is the one who tries to take all of these things and use it as an excuse to bring yourself closer to Hashem.
Rabbi, yesterday, accidentally, I had a very, very bad, hard experience of a very tough argument with somebody that was connected with a group that I started with my Yiddishkeit with. I really don't want to mention whatever. I get a very big tochecha from the beginning because of my purse and because of other things and because I don't follow that particular derech. And it comes to even a point that the person said that it's better to be a fry person than such a thing. Okay. I mean, I reacted very strongly back. I mean, this was my mistake. And I was really, it was the worst midah of chaos, and to respond back with a bitterness, because it's not the first time. It's going along for a long time already with this particular group in many cases. Okay. But the question is like this: if a person really doesn't answer back, and if a person says, okay, I'm battle, I mean, I think you're right, a person should make a cheshbon nefesh and see exactly what happened in him that caused him to react in this or in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if a person really doesn't put the thing in their place to the other person, this person will feel, I am right. And it can come, chas v'shalom, to even Avodah Zarah.
A kilkul. The answer is, we've spoken about this several times before. There's one main chapter on the Likutei Moharan that deals with this topic, about somebody insulting you and being quiet when you're being insulted, and showing that that's the highest tikkun of tshuva. That's Torah Vav and Likutei Moharan Chelek Aleph. However, you only have permission to be quiet when somebody is insulting you per se. If somebody is insulting your derech in Avodas Hashem, if somebody is insulting your rabbi, if somebody is insulting a hanhoga that's found in a sefer, chas v'shalom, to stand by and not counter. The Gemara says that there were many tzaddikim who were punished because they heard a Talmud Chacham being insulted and they didn't respond. So that if a Jew ever hears somebody insulting a Talmud Chacham, be it a Litvak or anybody from any, chas v'shalom, to stand by and take that, you have to counter, but The Gemara says, Kol ha-koyes chochmosle mistalekes. You want to counter intelligently. If you're going to counter unintelligently, you're going to convince the person more that he's right. That look, when this guy argues, he gets angry, and what he says doesn't even make sense. In order to be able to counter intelligently, you have to be such a person that when somebody is insulting you to your face, they can't stir up one iota of anger in you or hate. Zero. You're totally calm, completely, not one iota of nervousness. Then the minute this person finishes talking, you respond to the point clearly, and you defend the Talmud Chacham or the Sefer or the Derech 100%. Period.
The first point, what he just said, if you're not such a person that knows how to do it right, in such a case, would it be better to be silent? Or?
Possibly. In other words, possibly, or at least to be meicha. In other words, to tell a person that I don't agree with you. In other words, that's something you have to do, just as we mentioned many times, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person, chas v'shalom, calls you a mamzer, and you don't respond back saying, I'm not a mamzer, chas v'shalom, that could bring about a chshad on a person. A person actually puts himself in a position where he's suspect of being posel. So in other words, that's how important it is to say, I don't agree, to say, I deny it. That much you have to say. But as far as getting into an actual argument and discussion, only if you feel up to it, you do it. Otherwise, you tell them, fine, you think you accomplished a lot because you were able to yell at me and I didn't have the answers? I'm not so smart. But you should know that there are tzaddikim in the world, or there are talmidei chachamim in the world, who could explain things to you in such a way that you would be so embarrassed, you would be begging mechila 1,000 times over for the mistake that you made.
The person who's saying is a real maniac, and it's just like a...
Right.
Even to say I disagree with you is going to...
Is going to cause worse. Then somebody like that is to be ignored. Yeah. Somebody like that, we don't love him enough to be mechiachim.
Right. It says that animals have instincts in them. It's like at the same time as like Hashem with his stuff, like the animal moves this way, moves that way, it's all because like Hashem is commanding it.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Every single move that a cat makes, anything, a leaf, is only via the Hashgacha Prati. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Neshvach HaBaal Shem Tov, there's a story where he took his Talmidim, when he wanted to teach them what's Taish Hashgacha Prati, he took them and he said, let's follow this leaf. And I'll show you how Hashem plans every single move of this leaf, how there's a reason for it.
When an animal's going through a fear process, like it's doing something with its instinct, like to hide in a hole or something.
Right.
Hashem is like, in the mouth at this moment, just
a moment. Most definitely. Most definitely. We'll hold it over here for now. The next piece, again, is going to be a summary. Right now, we've pretty much finished all the major concepts in this Torah. All the paragraphs that we're going to have now are going to be taking different sections in the Torah and showing how everything Rabbi Elazar said so far in this Torah, the Ketamaran, is interwoven and explains and clarifies different incidents that are found in the Torah. Baruch Hashem.